Well, I want you to go ahead and get ready for the word of the Lord. Let me ask him to help me this morning on this. Wonderful Jesus, I present this word, Lord. I believe you gave it to me. I know you gave it to me. And so, Lord, open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to call this message, Take Out the Trash. Take out the trash. And you'll find out where I got that message in just a few minutes. I'm sure that you know, as I know, that there is a recording that is constantly playing in every one of our minds. I mean, it just keeps rolling 24/7. But the problem happens, or the problem comes, when that recording goes negative. And when it starts being negative, then it starts messing with not only your mind, but your soul, and then your body. Now, you young people won't remember this, but you old people will remember when we had cassette players. Remember those cassettes? And it had all those little buttons that you pressed. And you pressed the rewind if you wanted to go back. But then it had a fast forward that you could go forward if you wanted to. And then it had replay. The newer ones got something called replay, if you wanted to hear that song again. And then you had eject. And remember, the little door would open and you could pull the tape out? And that's how our minds are. And I want to go there for a few minutes, because today I have Pandora that I listen to on Sunday mornings when I'm getting dressed, because you can create any group that you want to hear. And I'll even put the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. I love their music, and some of those of today. I just put them on, some of the things we sing here. And you can either replay, but if I have a song come up that I don't like, or, you know, how can you not like a gospel song? But there's just some that you like more than others, and I will just go ahead and skip that one. And you can hit skip, and it'll just go on to the next song. But listen to this. It only gives you about, I don't know, I've never counted them. It'll only give you about 8 or 10 skips. And after that, you're just stuck. You're not going to skip anymore. That's it. So I want to say this. When we do have a negative thought come to our minds, we have the privilege of being able to skip that thought, or if you're old-fashioned, you can eject it and pull it out. But this is a sad thing. Many times we just replay it over and over and over. It just replays. Now, we were at the beach the other day, and we went over to Avila, and as we were getting ready to walk down the pier, there was the shore, but it was full of huge rocks, like big boulders. And the water just came crashing up on those rocks. It was the most beautiful sound. And I got my phone out and I videoed. And I just listened to that sound and I let it play for a while. Well, the other night I went to bed and I thought, I'm going to turn that sound on. I couldn't sleep. So I turned the sound on and I listened to that. I listened to it. It was so beautiful. Pretty soon I'm asleep. And I got up about 3 o'clock in the morning and that thing was still going over and over and over. So there are good things that we can put in the recording, but if we allow negative things to play over and over and over, I mean, there's things you may fall asleep on that thing, and guess what? You've got to be careful if it's negative. Most of the time, you won't go to sleep on it, but if you happen to go to sleep on it, it'll just keep rolling and rolling. So I pray today that this will help us. On, I think it was Thursday, I put just a little clip of this word in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, give no place to the devil. Talks about some other things, but it says, just don't give place to him. And the minute that we put our minds on replay to keep playing some negative thing about us or about somebody else or a situation in your life, when you start to do that, then you're giving place to the devil. And let me tell you, not anything you don't know, but he'll move right in. He will move right in and try to take over and cause you to worry and do everything he can to stop you or hinder you in the direction that God had you going. God has something for us, and he has a purpose for every one of us, but that's the intent of the enemy ever since Adam and Eve, ever since he showed up in the garden as a serpent. It's been his delight ever since to try to get God's people put out of the garden. Okay, so we've got to be really careful. The Bible told us to be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant, because that devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's devoured a lot of people. A lot of these people that's out on the streets today, sleeping out there, you know why they are? Could have started just like this. With a bad thought. Somebody telling them you're not worth anything. And in a marriage, maybe not giving them a chance. And they wound up out there. So, I don't know. There's just a lot of things that, God help me with this, that I think we could save ourselves and do a lot better on if we could just get control here. If we learn to think right. I heard Joyce Meyer say one time, listen to this. She said, think about what you're thinking about. And I had to rethink that to see what she was saying. But that doesn't that make sense? Every now and then we just need to stop and say, what are you thinking? Well, I just read this week that just ties right in. Listen to this. The writer said, did you know that a bald eagle eats fresh fish and stays healthy and can soar above the heavens, above the storms? But every now and then, it says that he'll find a dead carcass of a deer. And this was really funny. I don't know how you found this out. But he said that this eagle would find the dead carcass of a deer that had been shot, and a bullet was still in the carcass, and then that causes lead poisoning to go through the body, and then the eagle will go down and eat on that carcass and go away and yet return to it, and pretty soon you'll see the bald eagle laying beside the dead deer, because he's got the poison that was in that dead animal now in him. So now he's picked up this poison and he dies. And what I've already told you right now, and you and I both know it's the truth, all of us on this earth, we all deal with this stuff. We all know that if we let these bad thoughts continue, they are enough to poison us. They will poison us against the church. They could poison you against your parents, against your siblings. They can poison you against anything if you just continue to think on that and think on it. And we don't want anyone poisoned. God certainly doesn't. And Jesus paid the price that not one of us should have to be poisoned by a dead carcass of the devil. Amen? A lie from hell. So I want to say this, that my neighbor the other day wrote to me. This is where this basically came from. My neighbor texts me, very nice man. He and his wife were so kind, and he writes to me and says, do you mind if I use your trash can? He says, we're doing spring cleaning, and he'd probably already come over to my trash barrels and looked at the three of them and found out I had some empty space, because I don't think he would ask me. So he says, do you mind? I think you've got an empty can. Can I borrow one of yours? And I said, of course you can. You know that. If there's empty, just go on out there and use what you need. So that night I looked out, and sure enough, that can was out at the street. So he took the can out there. And the next morning, by 10 o'clock, it was brought back in, empty. So he had set that full trash can. Mine was empty, so they filled it up. But he did take it to the curb for the trash man to come through, pick it up, and dump it. It was now empty and back in its place. And I began to think on that, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, that that's the way he wants it to be with us. I think it was Billy Graham that once said, I can't keep a bird from passing over my head. Maybe it was his wife that said it. I can't keep a bird from passing over my head, but that bird, I can't let it stop there and make a nest. I can't allow that. So thoughts will come. All kinds of things come. But we don't have to let it stay there. Like my neighbor did, you just take it out to the curb, not a literal curb, but to the altar. Amen? So take it to the altar in your home or at your church or in your car or in your secret place. Take the trash out, church. Just take the barrel out like my neighbor did, set it down there, empty it, and put it back in its place. But then you have to fill that empty space with something. So what are you going to fill it with? You're going to fill it with the Word of God, things that you know. If all you know is John 3:16, then fill your mind up with that. If all you know is my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, fill your mind with that. Fill your mind with, I'm going to the beach next week, or I'm going to have some time off. But fill it with something good. Fill it with good news. Because if you don't fill it, those bad thoughts will come back, and you'll just start filling it up. You know how in our kitchens we fill up that little tall trash can, and we fill it up with little things. You fill it with a milk carton, empty egg carton, you know, just Kleenex, whatever, you fill it up with little things. After a while, it's full. You got to take it out to the big can. And it's just like that in our mind. We get these little things. It may start with a little thing, and you put that in, and then another little thing, and then another little worry, and then another fear, and then I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, you don't have to know how it's going to work out. I'm just going to tell you, 10 times out of 10, you're not going to understand it. Most of the time, you just don't understand it. And do you have the answers? Oh, no, we don't have the answers. We don't know the answers to a lot of these things. And then the best thing for us is when we know, if we can ever just come to the fact, I may not have the answer on this, and I may not understand it, but I know one who does. And my Jesus, my God, my Holy Spirit, they understand. And he can help me get through this instead of letting it build. And pretty soon you got a mess or you've poisoned your mind. And now you just feel so discouraged and so depressed. And what am I going to do? But church, you can't go through life just, we can't keep looking through the rearview mirror. I've got a whole chapter in that little book I wrote after my husband and daughter passed. And one of it was, don't look back. Remember Lot's wife? There's a verse. And this is all it says, three words. Remember Lot's wife. God told them, don't look back when he took them out of wickedness. When he took them out of that city that was going to be destroyed. He says, don't look back and don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Just stay focused. But what did Lot's wife do? She just had to look back at the way things were. Now, when your loved one passes, you can spend all of your time looking back if you want to stay there. And pretty soon you'll be so over your head in grief, you'll be in a mud. You'll just be in a muddy puddle or a muddy lake. I mean, it can get really bad. So you can't keep looking back. I don't care how good it was or what was happening. Don't spend your life there, because what's happening is then you're putting your finger on that little button that says, rewind. And then you're rewinding and you're replaying again and again and again. And it's just going to get you nowhere. I just wonder, church, how much of our space, how much space in our mind is filled with negative things. How much space are we giving to guilt, maybe? I'm in this building right now, you've had guilt that has just been bombarding your mind and your spirit, and you'll play that over and over and rewind. And then the shame follows the guilt, and then the regret. I wish I hadn't done that, or I wish I'd have done better. I wish I'd have raised my kids better. I wish. And that's all gone. It's all over. You can't even wish it back. So when you don't have understanding on it, and you weren't back there where you are today, remember that. You weren't who you are back there. See, you're somebody else today, so leave that stuff alone. You say, well, I knew God when I did that. Well, have you gotten forgiveness for it? Is it under the blood? Then move on. You're in a new life, so we just move on. And the talk against yourself or coming down on yourself and everything you do is wrong and this, that, and the other about you, it isn't about you. So why does the devil come and put everything on our back and we don't realize it and we're hitting the replay and the rewind over and over in our head? And then pretty soon we can't move forward doing what God calls us to do because you're so unworthy. And if nobody's told you you're unworthy, Satan will tell you how unworthy you are. He'll tell you how undeserving you are. Oh, don't worry, he'll tell you. Whatever the space is, however much, is it 80% of your mind taken to negative thoughts or 75%? Or you say, I'm pretty good, Pastor. I mean, 20% of my mind's taken with negatives. Well, you're doing really good, but just wait until tomorrow. No one discourage you, but I'm just saying, whatever amount it is with negatives is too much because it will build into a lot. Remember the little tall trash can in your kitchen. And then by the time your trash man gets there, remember Christmas time when your trash cans are overloaded and you can't even close the lid? That's how my neighbor's trash can was the other day. I'm not thinking, dude, that's right here in front of my house. The lid was up that far. But it just keeps building and building, and pretty soon the little things become big things. And all his purpose is to hinder us. If he can hinder us, I mean, he'd like to stop us. That's his aim. But at least if he can just hinder you and slow you down a little bit and try to take your home, that's what he's after. But let me remind you of Paul's words. Paul was so hurting with, he had a thorn in his flesh. And some people say, oh, I think it was his eyesight because he didn't have good eyesight. Others say, well, he could have had this or could have had that. And he was bald on top. Well, everybody in America today is bald, except a few. And so all of this, Paul says, God, could you take this thorn out of my flesh? And the Bible tells us exactly what it was. It said that it was a messenger from Satan, sent to buffet him, sent to fight him, sent to fight against him, to stop him, to discourage him, to depress him. It was a messenger sent from Satan to buffet this wonderful man of God. So he says, God, will you get rid of that for me? Will you take that thorn out? There's a thorn in my flesh. And Paul asked him once, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And it didn't go away. And he went back the second time and said, God, will you take this thorn out of my flesh? Something was really bothering his flesh. We have no idea what it was except that messenger from Satan trying to tear him down. God, will you take it away? And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Ask him the third time, will you take it away from me? My grace is sufficient. And then Paul said, okay, I get it. You're going to work this to my good. And God, you'll get this thorn out for me. Or you'll give me the grace and the mercy to walk through it. Sometimes, like I said, you don't know the answers. You have no understanding of it. But can I share with you today to encourage you that God will give us that same, encouragement, that same grace and that same mercy to get through it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, come boldly into the throne room of what? Grace, into the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy, to find grace, to help you in time of need. You say, I'm just not worthy. I'm so undeserving. That's what mercy's for. Mercy took care of that. When you came to Jesus, all that undeserving stuff left. Because God says, no, you're behind. You're in the bloodline here. You receive me as Lord, and you're doing everything you can to live in my life and in my kingdom because he lives in us. So let me tell you that God's grace is sufficient for you. So I just want to encourage you today to lay that trash aside and, You say, well, it's easier said than done. I know. But the moment you put your mind on something else and you fill it with this, I mean, just get your Bible out and read a psalm or read a proverb or read Isaiah's writings. Just read it and you'll fill it up. Or like I said, feel that bad thing. Get rid of it. You say, I can't stop it. No, start thinking on a good thing. Paul said, think on these things. If there be any virtue, that means good living. If there be any praise, if you're going to give God glory at all, then he said, think on these things. Because if you don't think on these things, you're not going to be able to praise him. You won't be able to even hardly pay attention because your mind is so wrapped up with mental trash that you can hardly function throughout your day. The other day I was driving through Taco Bell and Parker and Ainsley were there and I said, Ains, what do you want? And she says, I said the second time, Ains, what do you want? I'm driving up there, please tell me. And she says, I can't think right now. And I said, why not? She says, my mind is occupied. I said, well, would you like to share that with all the class? And she says, well, I'm thinking about my papa. So I thought, well, I just stopped right there. I thought, well, this is important. I said, what about him? Well, she said, you know, he had that stroke, and the other day we went to lunch with him, and he said he's better. Nana, he's not better. I watched him walk. He wasn't walking good, and he didn't talk good the other day. He said something wrong that wasn't. I said, well, Ainsley, okay, we're going to pray about that, but what do you want to eat right now? Okay, so at least I got that out of her. But you see how our minds can get occupied at Taco Bell drive-through line. I know she wanted that little quesadilla. I probably knew what she wanted, you know, or that blast. But her little mind was thinking over here on Papa instead of that. So it doesn't matter. Satan doesn't, and our flesh does not respect or honor you. It doesn't care where you are, who you are, if you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated. He just could care less. All he wants to do is play in your mind. Your mind, just make it a battle. It's a battleground. It's a battleground. It's not a playground. But he wants to treat it just like it's a little playground. It really is just not. So he'll say, you hypocrite. You look in the mirror and you say, you're a mighty woman of God. You're a mighty man of God. I see you doing great things. We're going to be in the will of God. We're going to do this and I'm going to do that. And Satan says, you hypocrite, you know you're not. You're going to do that. You don't have the money for that. You don't have the education for that. You know. And you just say, yes, I do. According to the word of the Lord, I do. Amen. Would you guys mind if I tell you this little joke right here? I think it's okay with the Holy Spirit with you. But it comes to mind right here. Diane Miller told me this, so if you don't like it, you can go to her. So this man had a, you probably heard it, had a parrot sitting out on the porch. And every morning the parrot and the man was out on the porch getting sunshine. And so there was a lady that would take her walk and walk around that neighborhood, and she was a little pleasingly plump, or unpleasingly plump, whatever it was. And every time she walked past that bird would say, lady, you're ugly and you're overweight. But he didn't say it in a nice word that way. You're ugly and you're overweight. So she walked by the next morning. He continued to say, lady, you're ugly and you're overweight. And this went on, and she let it go. And her husband said, it's just a bird. My goodness, it's just a bird. She said, yeah, but I know where he got those thoughts. So she goes to the man, the owner, and she says, let me tell you, sir, I'm going to have a gun with me tomorrow. And if that bird says that to me one more time, I'm going to shoot your bird And I don't care if it shoots out your window. I'm just telling you, you won't have a parrot left if he says that to me one more time. And he says, well, I'll do all I can to stop that. Please don't shoot my house. So she's walking by the next morning, and the bird went, psst. And he looked at her, and the bird says, you know. Now, don't be using that on anybody. Don't tell them you heard it here. Psst. You know. And listen, sometimes we think on things for so long. You said, listen, I laid that at the altar Sunday. So the next time you go, you didn't get that on there, did you? Okay. So the next day you get up, I left it at the altar on Sunday. Devil, you can't get me this time. By that night at dinner time, you're sitting there cooking your dinner. You're just cooking away, and he goes, all he has to say. Probably not even you know, because you know. And you take it all back and you hit rewind. I know, church. All right, Romans 8:5. I'll go back to word now. Okay. Tiffany, thank you for being up there. Thank you. We're getting a lot of new people working with us. Romans 8:5. Look at this, you guys. This is so powerful. Keep this. Please keep this. Mark it somewhere where you can look at it this week. Most of you know it, but put this in your mental cabinet. Romans 8:5. Look, a message to all of us. Thank you, Tiff. For those who live according to the flesh do what? Read it. Read those three words again. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And what are things of the flesh? Worry, strife, jealousy. Worry, anxiety, right? Any kind of fear. So if you live according to the flesh, what pleases your flesh, what makes your flesh happy, then you'll set your mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, you'll set your mind on the things of the Spirit. So, without a doubt, we need a mind change now and then, don't we? Amen? Yes, we do. So, I just want to say this. This morning, we want to take our mental trash out to the curb. Okay, we're going to bring our trash cans to the Lord. The curb is not a literal curb. It's the altar. The altar space, and let the Holy Spirit come and pick it up. But you've got to release it. Don't hold it when he comes by. Just let it go. Now, as long as we hold anger against someone, it's not hurting them. It's only hurting you. You may have an ex-husband, and you can't stand him, and you just think of ways to hurt him, or I'm going to get him, I'm going to, and you're thinking of all these things. And after a while, he's out at the lake having a barbecue with his family, riding on his little platoon boat, having a good time. Meanwhile, you're over here all miserable. You're not hurting him, you're hurting you. So I'm going to tell you something. If anyone's going to get mad, it's going to be them, not me. I don't want to have to deal with that. Besides that, if I get unforgiving and mean and hateful and I'm unforgiving, I won't forgive you. Can I not remember what the Lord forgave me for? Come on. Let's not be so self-righteous. Remember how the Lord forgave you. Can you not forgive somebody else? And you better remember that tomorrow you might need forgiveness for something else. So if you want forgiveness, he said, don't let anything stand between us. No, you want forgiveness, then you forgive your brother or sister. And I know that's a little selfish. But I'll just be honest with you. I don't think I've ever forgiven anyone for their sake. Because I didn't like them anyway. Or something, you know. But I didn't forgive anyone for their sake. I forgave them for my sake. Because I couldn't deal with it. It was foreign to me. I hate it. I hate feeling that thing that I'm not going to forgive them. I may feel it for 5 or 10 minutes. but usually not very long before I say, God, you're more important than that thing. I just a little something, something. That wasn't even, that's not even worthy to talk about. Let that thing go. It's all about you. It isn't about them. They'll find a way. God will convict them. He'll judge them, whatever he's going to do. Vengeance is his. Let him take care of it. But if anyone's going to be angry and unforgiving, just don't let it be you, church. Just don't let it be you. It's just not going to be me. I'm not going to be that way. Okay, and you ready for just one more little story? This one will fit right here, and then I'm going to let you go early, almost. Listen, there was a 92-year-old man. I love this. A 92-year-old man whose wife died, and he had to move into a home for seniors. Plus, he was legally blind. So the nurse, as she's walking him in on his walker into his room, she kept describing how nice a room that he had gotten with his family. And she said, over here, I just want to describe the beautiful window, and there's a beautiful scenery right here. You're really in a very beautiful room. Over here's the couch. You've got a couch. You even have a desk over here. Everything's just beautiful. And the old man yells out, I love it. I love it. I love it. And she says, sir, you haven't even seen it yet. How can you say you love it? Listen to what he said. This is why I just had to read this, because it fits here. He said, it doesn't matter if I like my room or not. It doesn't even matter how the furniture is arranged. It only depends on my mind, how my mind is arranged. If things are arranged right in my mind, then I know everything's going to be okay. Is that awesome? So just think about rearranging things in our mind, and then everything else will look better. Amen. You'll just know it's going to work out because I'm a child of God and he's with me. And even when you have that really big deal like death or that unexpected thing that hits you and you have no idea how you're going to get through it, and I tell you from experience, there will be pain. There will be a lot of pain. There will be a lot of hurt. There's just going to be, and your life will be changed forever. Especially when it's a spouse or a child that is taken from your life. It'll just be changed forever. But you don't have to stay there in that grief. You don't have to stay there because there's something called a sting of death. And that goes beyond just regular grief. Grief is hard enough. I mean, grief is bad enough, believe me. But when that sting of death bites you, it'll stay there and it will fester and it will fester, and some people will never go on with their life. One lady told me a horrible thing, but her little kindergarten girl was ran over by a bus. We were ministering in Missouri, and her husband brought her in, and her head's low, and he says she can't speak. She's been like this ever since 2 years ago when our little daughter was ran over by the school bus in kindergarten. She can't talk. And so I prayed with no power or strength of my own, believe me. I told her, honey, listen, this grief is killing you. It's destroying you. But it really isn't the grief. You have a right to grieve for your baby. But you have no permission from heaven to live with that sting of death. That sting of death is deep in your spirit. It's deep in your flesh. It's penetrated into your soul and into your spirit. And I'm going to ask God to pull that sting of death out of you, just like a bad tooth or an actual bee sting. Pull the stinger out, and you watch you be changed. Now, if you want to go ahead and keep it, and you want to refuse the help from God, you can refuse that. Or if you want to take it out, and you don't even have to feel guilty anymore. If you don't cry tomorrow and the next day and you're not still crying, staying in bed with the blinds pulled, you don't have to feel guilty. You can go on with your life and let God heal you, and you can enjoy your other little children. Dad said, we used to love to go out and eat ice cream cones, but she won't even eat an ice cream because the child loved ice cream. Now the whole family's got to pay for it. None of us can eat ice cream. I said, honey, look, here's what the devil has done to you. Let's get that out. will you do that? You want to do that so you can go on with your life and not be all depressed? Her head was down and she went. I don't know if she couldn't talk or wouldn't talk. But anyway, long story short, God healed her that night. I mean, totally delivered that woman. She came to church the next night and said, guess what we did this afternoon? That's what she said with her own mouth. Guess what we did? She said, we went and got an ice cream cone, all of us. That's called a sting of death being removed. You see, these things are heavy. They're really big. And I remember when my husband and daughter died, God showed me that I allowed him to move me into his recovery room. See, and you can come into his recovery room, and just like if you've had heart surgery, well, you go in, you recover, but the nurse comes in and starts trying to wake you up. They're real gentle with you until you wake up and you're feeling brand new. And he said, you allowed me to move you into my recovery. And then I sent my ministering spirits, the angels, and they came and ministered to you there. So he'll send his ministering spirits to help us. And then even though our lives forever changed, when that sting of death leaves you, you'll have his peace that passes anything that you could ever, ever understand. So I'm just going to ask you to stand with me this morning. There's just so much that is filled our minds today. Put that Romans 8:5 up again, Tiff. Romans 8:5. Remember, give no place to the devil. None. Those who live according to the flesh, you live outside of this or his will for you. And some that live close to him, it will come. But those who live according to the flesh, set your mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, you got to set your mind on things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. How many say, I'm tired of it? I don't believe there's one in the house today that couldn't deserve a little, have some kind of a little trash can filled up. Whether it's this size, or the bedroom size, or the kitchen size, or the outside size. Outside you have trash, and then you have your recyclable things, and then you have your landscaping stuff. You have all three cans. And I think sometimes we've just learned to departmentalize. This is really not serious. It just bothers me a little bit, but you know, and we can just say, well, you know, he put that there, her, whatever. But Father, help us today. Help us to be honest. Father, we don't know what Paul was dealing with, but we know that your grace and mercy was sufficient. And look, Lord, he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. We stand on Paul's shoulders. We wouldn't have this word without you using these disciples that they had to deal with stuff. Peter was dealing with stuff. Dr. Luke did. They all dealt with stuff. But Jesus, you had all the temptations and all the worries and all the stress and all the stuff, all the sin that we have ever dealt with. But you're the only one that never sinned with it. So by the blood of Jesus at the cross of Calvary, we've been made free. Help us today to set our minds according to the things of the Spirit. And may we never again, oh, the worries will come and the concern will come. But Lord, don't let us be a trash collector. Don't let us just pick it up. If we do, just let us get rid of it quickly. They'll come, but we can get rid of it quickly. Let us live according to the Spirit, that we'll set our minds toward the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And to all of you, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, and you know he will. And may he turn his countenance toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. And those of you that need finances, may they come in the mail. Checks come in the mail right out of nowhere. In Jesus' name. And those of you that are dealing with this stuff, It's gone to the trash man today, okay? We brought it to the curb, we brought it to the altar, and the Holy Ghost has been here. So hit skip, eject, in the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. See you Wednesday night. Thank you for being here at Landmark.